This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. We're coming to you today from Oak Creek and the Rafters Room at Three Cellars. It is our first Lake Effect on site, and our focus is on this community here in southern Milwaukee County, which is seeing rapid growth these days.
The Oak Creek that we see around us on South 27th Street probably would have come as a surprise to the people who called Oak Creek home 100 years ago. In fact, Oak Creek wasn't even incorporated as a city until the 1950s.
So to get us started on today's edition of the show, we're going to speak to the person who wrote the book on where Oak Creek has been, or co-wrote it anyway. Larry Rowe is the president of the Oak Creek Historical Society and co-author of Images of Oak Creek, which came out a few years back.
We are also joined by Sean Vollmer, the proprietor of this unique space in which we're recording, Three Cellars. This used to be the supper club called The Rafters. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Larry Rowe, what did Oak Creek, Wisconsin look like 100 years ago?
Well, for sure. It's hard to believe now when you take a look out, but Oak Creek was very much a farming community well into the 1950s. So not anywhere near as many houses, lots of big farm fields. And over to the east in Caraville, that was where one of the first big businesses showed up. It was the U.S. Glue Company. So Caraville has that distinction, and actually, if you go to that area now, you can still see the company houses that the glue company put together for their employees. So a lot of people fixed them up. It's kind of interesting. They look like they're stamped out of the same mold, but everybody put their own touches to it. So, other than that, lots of farms.
Was there ever a town center in those early days, like a main street and the things you'd typically find in a small town, a post office, or did people have to go to other communities for that kind of stuff?
Well, the town itself had a number of like villages. I mentioned Caraville. To the south, you had Oakwood. So there were kind of all these villages, and maybe about where we are right now was more considered the center of Oak Creek, but. Later on, any kind of government buildings were down, like on Ryan Road and on Howell. So a lot of taverns in Oak Creek, too. I almost forgot about that, yeah.
I don't know that makes it distinct in Wisconsin, though.
I was going to say, that's part of Milwaukee County, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So when did people start saying, I live in Oak Creek, rather than any of the other little villages that you mentioned?
Well, you talked about probably one of the most interesting stories I would think about Oak Creek is how it actually became incorporated. As a matter of fact, there's so many twists and turns to this story, it's going to be all I can do to kind of condense it down, so I'm not standing here for an hour. But anyway, the way it kind of came about, back in 1950, Wisconsin Electric Power Company built their power plant down by Lake Michigan. And it was a big benefit to Oak Creek because at the time, state law said 65% of the utility taxes that were collected would go back to the community that the utility was located in. And so I've heard from some longtime Oak Creek residents that the property tax back in those days was practically nothing because all that money you were getting from the power company. But along with that, at about the same time, Milwaukee was trying to expand out through annexation. And with that little cherry out there with the 65% tax revenue you're getting in, Oak Creek became quite a target for Milwaukee to do the annexation. So again, the town officials were all, farmers, part-time politicians, and a group of very dedicated Oak Creek town citizens took all the effort to actually create a bill that was submitted to the Wisconsin legislature, got the bill passed, but in between that time, Milwaukee was trying to serve summons after summons to try and derail this whole thing. A fellow by the name of Anthony Basale was the town attorney, and he did some research because at the time courts would decide when a town could actually incorporate. So he wrote the bill that would wind up dictating the different factors that would allow you to go ahead and incorporate.
So if things had gone a little bit differently more than a half century ago, we might be talking from a neighborhood in Milwaukee.
That's absolutely correct. Had they not done that that effort to incorporate, this would be Milwaukee for sure.
So what does Highway 41 mean to Oak Creek? That's the road that is now South 27th Street coming up from Chicago. I know, and Sean, we'll get to you in a moment, but I know people used to come up here from Chicago, like mm-hmm. Frank Sinatra, to be part of the supper club that was here. So was that all the way up in Oak Creek?
There was a lot of, that was probably what is 27th Street now. That was probably the main road going through Oak Creek. A lot of taverns, there was a blacksmith shop on 27th Street, a little further down, like around 13th.
And probably not there anymore, though.
No, I don't think so. Down at our museum, we have the only blacksmith shop in Oak Creek. There were eight of them at one time. We saved the only one that's left, so.
There were eight blacksmith shops.
There were eight blacksmith shops in Oak Creek, yep.
I don't know how best to segue here, but Sean Vollmer, this building we're in used to be the Rafters Supper Club. We're kind of surrounded by history. Can you walk us through a little bit more about what this property was and what its importance was over the years?
Sure. The funny thing is, you know, the gentleman on my right here has all the facts, and I'm the one that is trying to find all the stories about the place, and I get a lot of people that say, yeah, you know, I got a story about that. Hey, tell me it. I can't. Why not? Because there's people still alive. I'm like, what? What that means is there's a lot of rumors surrounding this building. And when we had the opportunity to keep it alive, we jumped on it. It took me about 5 minutes to walk through the place to realize that this would be a great home.
And it was vacant for quite some time,
It was
correct?
Vacant for 7.5 years. It was really neglected. Not one single person stepped foot in this. We do have pictures that every Thursday we take the pictures that we first walked around in here with no electricity, and we took a bunch of those pictures, and now we have what's called Throwback Thursday on Facebook, and we take a picture now and put them side by side so you can see the change. But we can't get away from the history, and the history is the cool part about this building. A lot of distinguished gentlemen, I guess would be the word. A lot of organized people visited this place. They came up from Chicago. Even Frank Sinatra, anytime he was in, he would visit the owners. And if you want, you can Google it. You can find it. There's little bits here and there about Sinatra visiting here anytime he was in the area. Hence the reason we took a room here and devoted it to Sinatra with all the memorabilia.
But as far as cool as this building is, this was not the original building on the site, right? Isn't that building right over there?
Once again, absolutely no facts, just a little story here and there. But it was actually the hotel portion of it was originally, we think, the first part of this whole complex. And then piece by piece it was added on. The hotel's no longer being used. Thank you. you know, we actually had a couple, probably in their 80s, very nice dressed, about 3 months ago, pulled up in their car, and they came up to me, and they said, can we get a room? I mean, I looked at it. I'm like, I'm sorry, we don't have rooms. Oh, we used to stay here all the time. And then asked if we serve steaks, just like the Rafters did, and we don't do that either, but we have great wine and great craft beer.
I dare say that I imagine there are any number of people that are in the audience here today that remember this place when it was the Rafters Supper Club.
Lots of hands.
85%, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the other unique, maybe, architectural touches? I know there's a spiral staircase that's out in the parking lot that has a certain significance.
It does. Actually, I'll take it a little step farther. We have a small little room in here. It's our smallest room. It seats 10. It's got a 400-pound original hardwood table with a leather top, and we call it the family room. The reason we do that is we heard the story that upstairs, which you can still see the remnants of this, upstairs there's the stage, and there's a reason there was a stage up there. While you were here with Grandma and Grandpa and your mom and dad having a great steak dinner, upstairs, those gentlemen that we won't mention, were upstairs with ladies, and the ladies were dancing for him, unknown to everybody who was ever down here. And so what happened was there was a stairwell, and they came through a doorway into that small little room. They had their dinner. They got served by a bar right next to it, so they would never be seen by any of the supper club patrons. And then they'd go upstairs, and I always joke they got serviced again. But the stairway that you're talking about, it's a wrought iron stairwell that when you exit the main entrance, you can take a look to your right, and that's where the girls would come up and down to not be seen by any of the supper club patrons. So we call it our family room because my staff said, oh, great, the mob room. I'm like, we're not calling it the mob room.
Yeah. I mean, familia.
The familia. La familia. So Larry Rowe, you talked about how there were a lot of taverns and things in Oak Creek, but what did businesses like the Rafters mean to the town, to the city?
You're talking about in general? I'm sure most people would remember, if they're about my age or older, that taverns and bars and all that became kind of a real community center, you might say. A lot of people would come. They'd bring their kids and everything else back then. That wasn't frowned upon or anything like that. So there's a certain family atmosphere that was there. I'm sure they still had plenty of problems, but when people had a few too many. But I think in general, it was just really kind of a social gathering. It's kind of like the old German beer gardens. It would be, that kind of a atmosphere.
Do you think that the people who would come to the supper clubs had any inkling what was going on upstairs?
Oh, I'm sure there was absolutely no doubt, A few dollars to the local constable probably took care of that.
Yeah.
So Oak Creek is really changing. I mean, this building is here, and there's so much of the original that is still part of what you do here. But the city around you is changing. Is there a certain importance that you see, both of you, I guess, for places like this to continue to exist even as Oak Creek changes around it?
Well, actually, when we opened, I never thought that I would be giving as many tours of the place as I have been. A lot of people are very happy. A lot of people come in here saying that they are so happy that this building was saved. I'm an Oak Creek resident, and I love what's going on in Oak Creek. However, I like the fact that we still have a landmark building. And, the landlord here and myself have worked very hard to keep it, and hopefully we don't outgrow this one.
Yeah, Larry Rowe, you had a book that has, it has pictures from decades of Oak Creek, and I imagine most of what is in that book doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Actually, the only things that we have a number of pictures of the original placement of some of these buildings, and the ones that are still existing are down at our museum complex. So we managed to save five historic buildings from the Oak Creek area down there. But just kind of expanding on that, one of the things that was probably the most dramatic since I've lived out in this area is the old Delco / AC spark plug area, which is now, of course, the Drexel Town Square. At one point, there was 10,000 people that worked there. But I appreciate the fact that, people are saving these buildings that have some significance to the area. And I consider ourselves pretty lucky. Talking about the book, there's, I think we're up to about six or seven different businesses, a few of them in the Drexel Town Square, that requested pictures from the book, copies of pictures from the book, to put up in their businesses. So I appreciate the fact that everybody recognizes, especially as businesses, that the history of your local community is important.
Do you find that people who don't live in Oak Creek are surprised by the amount of history that's here, that they think it's just something to drive through?
We always have trouble when people come down to our museum complex. They walk in, and a lot of them have lived in Oak Creek for 20 years, and they say, I never knew this was here. And then we can go through the stories of all the buildings, and it's pretty interesting to see how many people become a little more enlightened, especially the kids.
Right. I wonder, people who are moving here today, as this community grows, do you find that they're especially interested in knowing what was here before they came?
Yeah. Again, most of the feedback I get would be when we give tours down at the museum complex, and some of the stories, we have stories too, not just all facts, but some of the things are we can't back up with any evidence, but If you just give the basic stories of some of these buildings, I mean, the first one that was down there was the original town hall in Oak Creek. That was the first one that was moved to the complex. That was going to be torn down to put in the new city hall. And the story behind that is, you know, one of real dedication. They had to raise tons of money in order to get that building down there. And actually, the fellow that owned the cemetery that we're sitting right next to actually donated the land for that. So, yeah, the people, when they hear the stories, there's some reflection. And then the ones that are new, they think that it's pretty neat.
I don't believe I'm saying this on the radio, but somebody's pizza is here. We're going to talk about Oak Creek's future in a few minutes, but let me ask the two of you, looking back at what Oak Creek was, where do you see it today? And if you were betting men, what would you expect for the next 10 or 15 years from this city around us?
I just see more growth. The whole reason we went from 76th and Rawson to from 1,800 square feet to here, 10,000 square feet, you know, 27th Street's going to be totally different in, I would say, less than 5 years. You know, IKEA, to give you an idea, without your Google map, you are probably 300 yards?
Give or take.
About 300 yards from IKEA. So once that goes in, you know, everything else will just grow. We see everything. So, yeah, it's just going to keep growing.
Yeah, and I guess, again, I'm going to just refer back to the Drexel Town Square. I mean, that... to see it go from the old Delco plant and then to see this all come up. I mean, there's some great shops in there, and you've got, apartment buildings. There's going to be a luxury hotel in there. I think they did a great job on that, and I agree. I think that progress is going to continue. I've seen so many new buildings go up in the last, you know, 5-6 years that I don't see any way that's going to slow down.
Okay, so Larry Rowe, I have one more question for you, and that is, You do not live in Oak Creek. How does a person who does not live in Oak Creek get to be president of the Oak Creek Historical Society?
There's no residency requirements.
Yet.
Yet. No. Well, to be totally honest, I live on Forest Hill Avenue, and Forest Hill Avenue going east is actually the southernmost border between South Milwaukee and Oak Creek. And the museum complex, I could throw a stone at it from my front yard. So I'm close enough.
Are you seeking annexation?
No, I'll stay where I'm at.
Okay. Well, Sean Vollmer is the founder of Three Cellars, the shop and lounge, and the former site of the Rafters Supper Club. And Larry Rowe is president of the Oak Creek Historical Society.
Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
At last count, nearly 36,000 people call Oak Creek home. One of those is a musician making his way in the local scene despite some challenges he faces. We'll speak with Eric Look when Lake Effect Onsite continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. We are at Three Cellars in Oak Creek, Wisconsin for our first Lake Effect On Site. Our next guests are a musical act based here in Oak Creek.
The Eric Look Band has been featured on stages around the region and singing national anthems at sporting events as well. They've also played at Summerfest earlier this year. They're with us right now, accompanied by Michelle McCormack on background vocals. Please welcome Blue Lamp Records autistic recording artist, Mr. Eric Look. Woo!
You know this one.
Well, the south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. Now, Leroy, born in trouble. You see, he stands about 6'4". All those downtown ladies call him Treetop Lover. All the men just call him Sir. And he's bad. Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole dang town. Badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. Now Leroy, he's a gambler. likes his fancy clothes, and he likes to wear his diamond rings on everybody's nose. He got a custom Continental, he got an Eldorado too. He got a 32 gun in his pocket full of fun, he's got a razor in his shoe. And he's bad, Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole dang town. Badder than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. Well, Friday, about a week ago, Leroy shooting dice, and at the edge of the bar sat a girl named Adoris, and ooh, that girl looked nice. Well, he cast his eyes upon her, and the trouble soon began. Leroy Brown had learned a lesson about a messing with the wife of a jealous man. It is bad, Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole dang town. Badder than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. Well, two men took to fighting, and when they pulled them from the floor, Leroy looked like a jigsaw puzzle with a couple of pieces gone. And it's bad, Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole dang town. Badder than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. Yes, he's bad, Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole dang town. Badder than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. Yeah, he was badder than old King Kong.
He was bad.
Meaner than a junkyard dog.
The Eric Look Band with the classic Jim Croce song, Bad Leroy Brown. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We wanted to ask you a little bit about Jim Croce, because you just played that classic song for us. You're a big Jim Croce fan, right?
Right.
What is it about Jim Croce's songs that make them so special to you?
Well, Jim Croce was a singer-songwriter from South Philadelphia. He had recorded 5 studio albums starting in the late 60s into the early 1970s. He had a string of the top 10 hit songs. 2 of them reached number 1 on the Billboard 100 charts, Time in a Bottle and Bad Leroy Brown. Jim first started performing as a duo with his wife Ingrid in coffee houses, and later on was signed to a record deal with ABC Records. Then on September 20th, 1973, after playing a concert at Northwestern State University in Natchitoches, Louisiana, Jim's charter plane crashed shortly after takeoff while heading to his next performance in Sherman, Texas the following night. Everyone on board was killed. Jim was only 30 years old. And Leroy Brown is a real-life person that Jim met while serving in the Army National Guard in South Carolina. Leroy wasn't happy being in the Guard, so he just decided he was going to leave without telling anyone, then came back to collect his paycheck at the end of the month. Jim said he was just one of those people that you have to write a song about.
I agree. I think Eric really likes it too, because I don't know if you can notice just from watching, he really rocks the ivories here. Even though Jim Croce is known as the everyday guitar man, there are some great piano riffs in his stuff, and Eric's got it.
Yeah. So Eric, were you ever afraid that having autism would hold you back from becoming a musician?
Well, I was afraid of loud noises like sirens, smoke alarms, and car horns. Sometimes I have trouble focusing on my music with so much sound sensitivity. I think playing my music helps me to relax more and not let so much noise get in the way of my concentration.
Are you feeling relaxed now?
Yeah, I am.
All right, and that's without a Cabernet, so that's impressive.
We're going to hear an original song in just a little while. What was it like the first time you heard that song played on the radio?
I felt really excited. When I heard my song play, I jumped with excitement and got myself moving to the beat. I really enjoyed it because it gets me into the holiday mood, and it always gives me the opportunity to spread joy and cheer to everyone.
Do you remember the name of the song?
It's This Christmas Day.
Right, Eric's done 4 Christmas songs since now. He's launching a 5th coming up. I think it's the best, but, you know, what do I know? I'm just the backup singer. But I also, in just learning about, he likes to write his own music, and his message in A Better Place in particular is just a song about perspective and trying to achieve, everybody wants the same thing, right? Meaningful connections, acceptance, understanding. So it was really neat as me as a journalist looking for that in my own life and profession. This kid from Oak Creek who has classic autism, was diagnosed with classic autism at the age of 5, has the same things and needs and desires that I have, yet he's better at articulating it and kind of gives me a voice to work it out. So it's kind of a neat thing.
Eric, you talked about your challenges. This past summer, you performed at Summerfest. What was that experience like for you?
Summerfest was really a rocking experience. I was jamming on the keyboard as I was singing some really great songs such as R.O.C.K. and USA, You Don't Mess Around with Jim and Burnin' Love. My most favorite part about Burnin' Love was that big finish, which yeah. I decided to come up with. Everyone in the audience liked it so much, they knew it was a big hit for me. I was so thrilled to have them put their hands together and dance to the fast up-tempo beat of that song.
So, Michelle, you know, you talked about meeting Eric and mm-hmm. getting to know him. What drew you to him as a performer?
Well, I was always told I was too loud to be around people with autism. So it was kind of nice that Eric, I don't know, for whatever reason, my laugh doesn't bother you that much, does it?
What are you talking about?
You know, so, I mean, the fact that Eric accepted me because we had that connection to music, it was refreshing to me. You find out that, you know, conventional wisdom is not always right and that you have to explore things for yourself. And I can't explain the connection. I mean, what happened is his original backup singer, Noel Braun, who was on The X Factor, was having a baby. So his uncle Joe, Joe Banis, who also plays in his band, and his mom Debbie, who's his backup singer, and Rami Espinoza, the legendary guitarist and Milwaukee musician here, they're like, well, can you just, since you know Jim Croce, just, you know, why don't you just join? And how bad can it be? Bad, okay? But, so I did it once at the Bratstop.
You thought of doing Michael Jackson, too.
I never thought of that. It worked out pretty well, so they asked me to come back the next year. But that event got canceled, and Uncle Joe said to me, you know what, we're just going to have you sing the national anthem at Autism Awareness Day at Miller Park instead. So how you go from doing Bad Bad Leroy Brown to the Bratstop to Miller Park on Autism Awareness Day, I have no idea. But it's just a wild ride, and why not go for it?
And now you're on Lake Effect.
And it has been a wonderful experience here. Yeah. I've loved it, loved learning about Oak Creek, and these are connections I never would have made otherwise. It's nice to be part of something bigger than yourself and part of a community effort.
Is there something about also performing maybe for other people with autism? Is there do you see people looking at these performances and thinking of you and the band as a role model?
Ooh, role model, I think Eric definitely is. I would not follow any of my advice when it comes to dancing, okay? Just no. I think that music in particular, I think, gives people living on the autism spectrum an avenue for a fulfilled life that we maybe didn't contemplate. I think many times with disabilities, we think of practical skills to teach people, these creative things. But Eric is really a virtuoso on the keyboard. And when he is in the studio, he bangs it out perfect every time. He can change keys. And when he's dealing with a novice like myself who doesn't understand harmony, melody, that whole thing, and I have to do it over and over and over again, and most people would get fed up, he's just there. Whatever the autism allows him to do to have that collectiveness of individual, he's just, okay, she's working out her things. You want me to play now? Okay, I'm ready to go. I think that's of huge value to the music industry. In particular, if we want to talk seriously about the music industry, I think it's a great avenue for people with autism, the studio musician. I really do. I've seen it work. But for me, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful joy to be with him.
So, Eric, what about performing for people who aren't autistic? Do you think you're helping to break down stereotypes?
Perhaps. maybe like breaking down stereotypes could be a result of that.
Yeah, I agree.
I know you're about to play one more song for us called A Better Place. Is there anything either of you wanted to tell us about it before you play it?
Yeah, A Better Place is about me being positive, strong, and kind, and what I do to face the challenges of autism. And it's about a place for understanding and acceptance, and it's kind of nice for me to be myself and get along with others.
All right.
Well, we're thrilled to have you both here. Before you play it, let me just say, Eric and Michelle, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am positive, strong, and kind. I can share my dreams, I won't leave them behind. I have the courage to do what I do. You can find that courage too. 'Cause we can make this a better place. No matter the obstacles that we face, all of our differences can be erased when we make this a better place. We all bring gifts into this world. Some are great gifts and others small. Each important as the next, they hold meaning for us all. 'Cause we can make this a better place. No matter the obstacles that we face, all of our differences can be erased when we make this a better place. A place for understanding now, and of acceptance too. A place where I feel free to be myself, and so can you. Of acceptance too, a place where I feel free to be myself, and so can you. 'Cause we can make this a better place. No matter the obstacles that we face, all of our differences can be erased when we make this a better place. 'Cause we can make this a better place. No matter the obstacles that all of our differences can be erased when we make this a better, for you and me better, make this a better place.
That was the Eric Look Band with A Better Place. Eric Look is Blue Lamp Records' autistic recording artist. You can find a link to his website at wuwm.com. Lady and gentlemen, thank you so much.
One more break, and our Lake Effect On-Site continues with a look toward the community's future here on 89.7 WUWM.
Big Jim Walker, he a bull-shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come. Stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because.
Back with our Lake Effect On-Site from the Rafters Room at Three Cellars in Oak Creek, right here on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. There is a very large blue building rising from a field a few hundred yards from where we sit. If work goes on schedule by next summer, it will be the Milwaukee area's first IKEA, and it will likely attract many people to shop in Oak Creek who might otherwise just drive past on their way to Chicago or other points south.
It's a big juncture in the history of this community, which has seen rapid growth in recent years. And as we mentioned, the population is approaching 40,000, and it stands to grow even further in the years to come.
In the middle of all this is the city's Director of Community Development, Doug Seymour. Welcome to Lake Effect, and thank you for having us here in Oak Creek.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here, and it's a very exciting time for Oak Creek. Certainly, the IKEA is a big part of that, and it's a great find for all of Southeast Wisconsin and the Milwaukee area, but especially Oak Creek, given the fact that there's a lot of really great things that are happening in our community.
Well, I hope we can talk about them. We talked earlier in the show about where Oak Creek has been. Let me ask you first, how relevant is this history to the path that you see Oak Creek taking now?
Well, I don't think you can have a meaningful discussion about Oak Creek's future without having a meaningful understanding about Oak Creek's past. And to the extent that I hope we never forget about our past, because it really informs us as to the decisions that we make today and moving forward. Oak Creek is a relatively young community as a city, but as a community, it goes back well beyond that, and it really helps to inform, again, some of the decisions we made addressing Drexel Town Square. I mean, Oak Creek, in the sense that it's only 1955 as a community, we never really had a downtown like Waukesha or Hartford or Cedarburg, yet we had four or five little mini downtowns. And Drexel Town Square, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more, but that really is kind of going back into our past, trying to recreate or actually create that for the first time, a focal point, a community gathering point for the city of Oak Creek.
I was going to ask about that, and we could talk about it later, or we could talk about it right now. Why is that focal point so important as you look at the city's future?
Well, I think your earlier guest, and I think Larry hit it correctly, I mean, Delphi, then Delco, was such an important part of the community. You either worked here, you knew somebody who worked here, thousands and thousands of people. And to see that decline and ultimately close in the later 2000s on what really was the main street of our community, a pretty main corner, really gave us some pause to think about the future of our community and what we wanted to do as a city to encourage redevelopment of that corner. And it wasn't acceptable to us and to our council and to let that stay vacant, because we thought the potential was so much more. And through a number of factors and some fortunate coincidences, we were able to work with some great partners and develop a great town center for not only Oak Creek, but the entire South Suburbs.
When you're talking about a city that's growing like Oak Creek is, however, how do you guide the development in such a way that it doesn't alter the character that first drew people here in the first place? I mean, you want both hearkening to the past but looking to the future.
Sure. People come to Oak Creek for different reasons. And when you talk to people, and we do, and we will, and as we move forward in our planning, we'll be updating our comprehensive plan in this coming year. But universally, they'll say, well, we like the open spaces, and we like the value that's presented. We like the services that are being offered and the value that they present to us. And as we move forward and talking about land use, certainly there can be some win-lose decisions that are made. And it's important that we consider the overall community in making those decisions so that we preserve the areas that are worth preserving and redevelop the areas or allow for people to develop the areas that probably make sense to develop.
Ultimately, and I'm sure this is a conversation that people in your business have all the time, who is the development for? Is it for the people who are here in Oak Creek today or the people that you hope will live here in the future?
Well, I think my personal mission as a planner is to not only plan for the folks who live here, it's for the people who don't live here, who aren't even born yet. So I think that kind of stewardship for future generations has to be a part of all the decisions that we make, not only as a planner, but as a community, as a council, as elected officials. So I think it's important that we honor the past, obviously, and respect the wishes of the citizens who are here. But I think that it has to enter that conversation that future generations will inherit the decisions that we make today.
Are there examples of peer communities, either nearby or elsewhere, that serve as cautionary tales to you or even as examples to follow, things you want to borrow and take from them?
Well, I think we borrow a little bit from the vocabulary of every place that we visit, and I try to visit as many places as I can. I think we try to draw from the best of examples of some of those communities, and certainly we'd like to share the experiences of what might or not have happened to their expectations and some of the other projects. And I don't like to name certain communities. We draw upon all that past experience and try to make the best product that we can for our residents, both existing and future.
You were talking about having to make the decision about what's worth saving and what's worth developing in a different way than it is today. How do you make those calls?
Well, it's important to have a great foundation, and that starts with the comprehensive plan. And that's something that the city undertook a while ago in 2002, and it's time to update that plan. And we're doing that next year. And it's a document that really tries to ascertain and work with the community to what their core values are and what they feel we as a community should be striving for. So that will help the council to inform those decisions. Part of that process, and one that we've also undergone just recently as of last year, is a strategic plan. And certainly there's so much going on in Oak Creek that sometimes we don't stop and take a breath and really take a look at that vision and the steps that we need to achieve that vision. So I think it's great that we have the opportunity to work with some very talented people, elected officials, administrators, that really give us that chance to take a breath and really refocus what we want to be as a community.
Do you work with the Historical Society as one of those partners?
Well, I think we've worked with the Historical Society, especially on Drexel Town Square. And I think that some of the things that you've seen in some of the private developments with the pictures, what have you, we've tried to preserve some history to Drexel Town Square because it was such an important part of the community. And so, for instance, there is a Delco Drive within Drexel Town Square. Many of you will recall that there was an observation dome that was part of Delphi. The city has that at our yard. We're trying to repurpose that for a piece of public art in one of our parks, the new Emerald Preserve at Drexel Town Square. That's our hope, and we're hoping to find a meaningful place for that. I know that Delco has a very active retiree group. They've got a time capsule at the community center. So it's very important to us. We've got a room within the Civic Center called the Delphi Room. So it's important to us to do the little things that we can to honor our past and really connect with the people that really built our community.
Are there things that keep you up at night about development and Oak Creek?
Yeah, it's a big responsibility, I think, to when you're making decisions on behalf of a community the size of Oak Creek. And I think it gives me a little bit more peace in the fact that, you know, we've got a wonderful staff, wonderful administration, wonderful elected officials who really buy into the vision that they've laid out. And from the sense of it's a very caring group, it's a group that respects all opinions and really is not losing sight of the past, but it's really making some bold and progressive statements towards the future as well.
How big do you see Oak Creek realistically getting?
That's a really tough question, and you know, I hate to put a number on it, but I think that right now we're around 36,000 people. And I think as we continue to develop, we'll push that number into the mid-40s, I think, would be ultimately a comfortable place for the city to end up at. When? I don't know. But I think it's important that we, again, take a look at what we want to preserve as far as natural and open space areas. And the city's done a great job of that with the county, with our school district. One thing that many people don't know is that around 20% of the city is preserved in some type of permanent open space, whether by the city, the county, the school district, the sewage district. So there's a lot of open space in Oak Creek, and it'll stay open space. So that there are some areas that will develop and should develop, and that's really what the comprehensive plan is designed to show us, is what are the areas that we want to preserve. Again, the wetlands, the park features, and we're doing a great job along our lakefront and opening up the lake in decades. I mean, I think that Larry mentioned that it was the site of a glue company. Well, he was being kind. It was the site of a chemical company, fertilizer company, and there was a lot of challenges towards opening that up, back up to the public. And I think past council, certainly our current council, met that challenge head on, and for the first time in probably 40 years, that'll be open to the public starting next spring.
I did have a question about, this may be a history question more, but you know, this was such an agricultural area. How much of it still is?
Not much. I think we've got, we have several farms. A lot of that's leased. We have, I think, one operating farm still left in the city. We'd love to preserve that. But again, you have to balance the private property rights with the public need for open space, and we'll be sensitive to that. And certainly if there are opportunities to preserve farmland in the city, we'll take a look at that as part of the comp plan.
Do you see the planned Foxconn plant just to the south as any kind of opportunity for Oak Creek?
Well, I think Oak Creek's had a lot of momentum regardless of what happens with our neighbors of the south. I think Foxconn, if it comes to fruition, I think it'll be great for the region. And I really will just think it'll amplify the attractiveness of our community.
What's your favorite thing about living in Oak Creek?
Well, I've had the privilege to serve the citizens of Oak Creek for about 27 years now. Lived here most of that time. And it's really kind of the profound impact that the community's had on me and my family, raising two kids in Oak Creek and through the school system, some of the activities. And I hope it always will be thought of as first a great place to raise a family. So I think that's really what impresses me about Oak Creek, and the fact that while we're changing, those core values don't change.
Doug Seymour, thanks.
Oh, my pleasure.
Doug Seymour is the Director of Community Development for the City of Oak Creek, and he wraps up our show today. We'd like to thank Sean Vollmer and the staff of Three Cellars for hosting us for this first Lake Effect On-Site.
Also, thanks to Lake Effect staffers Joy Powers, Audrey Nowakowski, and Mayan Silver for their work, plus Marketing Director Christine Lamantina and Audio Engineer Jason Reavy. Our theme music, which our studio audience can't hear anyway, was written by Willie Porter.
Thanks to all of you in our studio audience for coming out and supporting your public radio station in your community. Stay tuned for details of our next Lake Effect On-Site right here on listener-supported Milwaukee Public Radio. Stay tuned. Bubbler Talk is next.